Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny and call of God for our lives. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessings. We've been looking at how God can take an individual's life and he can take that place that seems like you can't be blessed, you can't see God, you can't even understand why you're in that predicament, and he'll use that to be the sounding board for your blessing. He'll use that place to be the victory of your life, your overcoming place. And we've been looking at people in the Bible, first starting off with Esther, seeing her life that as she was in exile, God allowed that place of exaltation to be the place where he would exalt her, that he would anoint her as a ruler in the natural, but also as a redeemer for her people as she saved them from a destroyer. And we see that God not only blessed her, but he also blessed Mordecai, her cousin, in the process. And we see that she was blessed, the nation of Israel was blessed, her cousin was blessed, and the kingdom itself was blessed because she was there. Then we looked in the book of Genesis at Joseph, and we saw how God took that unlikely place of him being sold, losing all of his natural inheritance, so to speak, that was connected to his father, being sold as a slave, going from Potiphar's house to the king's prison to Pharaoh's house, and God blessing him and establishing him, sending him ahead of time so that he would be there when the problem arose. But in the process, God maturing him, getting him ready for rulership, getting him ready to be a blessing not only to his people, his family, but also to the nation of Egypt. So we saw how God did that. Now it's still in the book of Genesis, looking at unlikely character, that is a character change, but it's also a place of blessing with Jacob. And we see that as God changes him and he moves him from one predicament to the next, and we see God doing something in his life that is miraculous. So we're going to be looking still in that book, and we're going to go back just a little bit of what we went over on yesterday and then continue with what God is saying concerning Jacob. We see in the 27th chapter of Genesis, and we read yesterday about the blessing that was given to Esau by his father. And we want to understand, you want to understand this, that when God gave the blessing to Abraham and Isaac, this blessing was transferable. And God came back each time that he spoke this blessing, this covenant blessing, over the lives of the patriarchs. When he spoke this, he was speaking this knowing that he was renewing what he said and transferring that same blessing to that individual. So when God spoke it to Abraham, Abraham spoke it then to Isaac, and God then came and confirmed it, because once Abraham was out of the way, he needed to confirm what he spoke to Abraham to Isaac. And Isaac now has been speaking the same thing to his sons, now transferred the same blessing to his sons. So when he was transferring the blessing, God had already given him the power to do that and to speak it. His words were powerful. That lets you know that whatever God speaks over your life, or what God allows a leader who's walking in his covenant and who understands how to properly give words and how to properly anoint and transfer, when they speak over your life a decree that God has already declared, God is backing it because he's given them the power to do that. And so when we understand that what God has spoken concerning us is not going to return void, but God, every time we obey him, he renews that covenant with us. He renews that word with us. He reassures us in that because he's promising us, I'm going to do this as long as you stay connected to me, as long as you stay in my will, I'm going to do these things in your life and you're going to see them manifest. So we see that this covenant that God was giving was precious, and it was something that was great. So when Esau gave up his blessing, his birthright, he gave up the blessings that were connected. When he gave up the the birthright. He gave up all of the blessings that was connected. It wasn't just about the seed and how they were going to be multiplied, but it was the blessings that were connected to that promise, that covenant. So he gave up those blessings that were connected to the promise that God had for the lineage of Abraham, for the seed, for the descendants. And every descendant received the same thing. God was renewing what he was saying. So when Esau gave that up, despising in his heart what God had been saying concerning the lineage of Isaac, concerning the lineage of Abraham, he was giving up the blessings that were connected to it as well. So he gets to this place after he understands what he has done, and after his father has blessed his brother. And as I said before, he could not take something that was not his. God had already said that he was going to be the one that was going to be blessed. God had already said that. So God had already put it in his mother's heart, had already said the blessing, and it was him who was basically going to receive this promise, not Esau. So the blessing that his father prayed over him, we see it in the 27th chapter. He says, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now, he thinks he's talking to Esau, but he's talking to Jacob. But the blessing that he gives is according to what God had already spoken. Okay? So the 28th verse says this. It says, therefore, my God shall give of the dew of the heavens, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brother, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. God was establishing something in him that no one else could take away. The first thing that he did was he gave divine purpose. He was letting him know that heaven is going to give you what you need. That was the first thing that he was letting him know. Heaven is going to give you what you need. And he was letting him know that because God is in control of the heavens and you need rain, and you need that there to be water over the land that God has given you, God is going to make sure that what he tells you and where he takes you, you're going to always have rain. Unless God rains down in your life, in the spirit or in the natural, some things that you're trying to get to grow will never manifest. Some things that you're trying to get to happen in your life will never manifest. The Bible talks in the book of Isaiah about the latter rain. It talks about that rain, and it's significant because that rain comes from heaven. We need that rain in our life. We need God's rain. We need the blessing of rain in our life to make things grow, to make things mature, to make things sprout, increase. So as we pray this blessing over our life, this covenant blessing over our life, we're asking God to be in control of our destiny and to partner with us so that whenever we go in, just as the Holy Spirit partners with us to do the will of God, we're saying, God, we want your will to be done. So we need your blessing. We need the rain of your heavens to shower down on us and provide for us what we need. So God is basically saying, I'm going to divinely provide for you so that you will walk in prosperity in what your hand is put forth to do in your life. The next thing that he gives him is spiritual authority. He says you're going to have rule. You're going to have rule over the land. You're going to have rule over people, and those people are going to submit to you, and you don't have to ever worry about them overtaking you or basically defeating you as long as you stay in my will. Even though right now Israel is not in the perfect will of God because God has made covenant with them, they cannot be utterly destroyed. God will not allow it. I don't care who fights them, who comes against them, they're always going to thrive. They're going to succeed because God has a covenant with them, and that covenant is still an everlasting covenant. The last thing it says, that there will be a curse on anyone who curses you. So God is letting them know that no one can curse you because I put a blessing over your life, and that blessing is my covenant word. So because of this, Esau understood that now he's traded off what he should have had himself because he despised the birthright. So we get to this point where he now is in this place where he needs God's blessing because he knows that his father's words are powerful. And he wants his father to speak over him. And he cries and mourns really in a very grieful way for God to speak through his father and bless him and give him something as well. But that doesn't happen. There is a blessing that he receives that he says, is there not one blessing? He wants his father to say something over him. Now, in the natural realm, fathers are supposed to speak over their children, lay their hands on their children and speak over them and decree what they shall be, what shall happen in their life, decree a blessing over them. In the spirit realm, God has spoken over us in his word, and he decreed some things. They're ours. Our spiritual fathers, our pastors, they speak over us, and they decree and declare the blessing, the will of the Lord over our life. So we need the blessing of the Father in our life, in every aspect, spiritually and naturally. We need the blessing of our Father. And if we don't have a natural blessing from our Father, maybe they did not know how to do it, or our Father wasn't there and our mother didn't bless us, then God will, because he makes sure that we receive all that we need, he'll make sure that there will be someone else in our life who blesses us, whether it's a pastor or someone who mentors us. God will make sure that that blessing is transferred to us, that someone speaks over us, and then we have the power to agree with the word of God about his blessings concerning our lives as well. So he wanted the blessing of his father. When Esau realized that Jacob has the blessing, he seeks to kill him after his father's death, and the mourning period is over with. But someone heard him say this, went and told Rebekah. Rebekah in herself understands, if I lose both of my sons, then I've lost everything, because one will be lost to death and the other one will be lost to exile like Cain was. So she and herself begins to speak to her husband about Jacob's future, and says that I don't want him marrying one of these pagan women who's going to bring in pagan worship. They don't understand our worship. They don't understand our God, and they're going to bring this in. So I want you to send him back home. Send him to my people and allow him to marry someone from our nation. Go, let him go to my brother Laban's house. And so that's what happened. And even in that, Jacob gets blessed again by his father. He's called to his father. He gets blessed again by his father. And he even gives him the blessing of Abraham, what God promised Abraham, on his life, and sends him away. While Jacob is on his way, the Lord speaks to him. The Lord speaks to him, and he begins to affirm some things. And God allows the covenant that he gives him to now be real to him. It's more than just what his father has spoken. The covenant that God is speaking to him now is becoming real, because God makes his self plain known to Jacob. He lets him be plainly. He's no longer just the God of Abraham and Isaac. And you'll see in the book of Exodus, it will say that he was the God of Jacob too. So we see that God is building and establishing a relationship, not just with Abraham and Isaac, but he's now establishing one with Jacob too. Now, Esau wanted the blessing of his father so bad, he went and married Ishmael's daughter. He wanted the favor, he wanted to get in the good graces of his father, because his first two wives were pagan worshipers, and he grieved his father and his mother. So he wanted the blessings of his father. So he goes and he marries Ishmael's daughter, thinking that will be, put him in the graces of his father, and he wants to receive this blessing, another blessing from his father, and he's doing all this so he can receive. But God does not allow that to happen in the way that he needs it. We understand that when God visited Jacob, he was affirming some things in his life and letting him know who he was, where he was going, and his destiny. God always speaks to where you are and where you're going. He speaks to destiny. He talks about the present to let you understand that he knows where you're at, but he's going to speak to your destiny. There are many things that God has spoken in your life, and you've got to understand, if he talks and told you where you were going, you're going to get there, no matter what the road is that you travel. Even if you have to go around a mountain, even if you have to go to the back side of the mountain, even if you have a Moses experience and you're separated from the norm of your life into a place that you don't even know, God is going to make sure that you come out and do what he says. Have a blessed weekend. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thatson, and we'll see you back next week at the same time, going even further on Unlikely Blessings. God bless you.